Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
This the fifth Sunday of Lent. So next week we'll be looking at the triumphal entry and Palm Sunday, right? All that kind of stuff, which means Good Friday is upon us and all that. Right? Is that right? Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. So it's kind of a blur or something. All right. So the lectionary reading that we've been following for this Lenten season, our Word Made Flesh episodes, today's reading comes once again from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 20 through 33. Is that right? Okay. Could one of you be ever so kind as to read that for us?
Now there are some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. All right. Initial thoughts, comments, questions.
Well, I was in the whole wrong book, but I'm going to leave this one here about John. I was in Mark for some reason. That's a really good two.
But anyway, well, we've been studying Mark as our Latin study, yes.
All right, anyway, so I'm going to leave this one. For me, like Jesus knew who he was. Like he's talking about where this grain of wheat, it falls, it grows, you know, and then you got to be, want to be given to be more seed, to kind of carry on this tradition. Like nowadays, everybody wants to be what they're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be this grain of wheat, or you're supposed to be, this is what God created you to be, that building stone, you know, but we all have these grandiose ideas. It's very selfish of what we think we should be creating ourselves and to give what we can, you know, to give to others when this is what you're supposed to be. And nobody wants to be that, you know. So just be who you're supposed to be. That's where, that was the Jesus thing, you know, he was with it. You know, that was his identity. He wasn't trying to be something else. And I'm pretty sure he could have went and took this in a whole different direction if he wanted to. It wasn't about him. Play his part. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. I reinvent ourselves and become something we think, you know, do the selfless thing and just fall and die so you can reproduce and carry on this tradition. So more seeds grow, we, you know, than we all can eat. You know.
Anybody have any thoughts or comments on that particular insight? Let me proffer this question, all right? Why is it so hard?
Society, this way we're conditioned, we were raised, we were brought up. For me, the culture of that buy me, feed me, forget everybody else. And at best, as long as I'm taken care of, I'm eating good, I'm alright, got what I need, then maybe I'll share something. It's like reverse. First, freely, you must be like that grain of wheat and fall and die. We'll die later, we'll get there, but in the meantime, I'll get mine first. Make sure those closest to me are good, and then maybe I'll share some seed. It's the reverse. It's just the way it is right now.
I'm going to piggyback on that and say, as I was growing up, I was always taught to listen to my parents, which is true. I wasn't taught anything about God. So for me in my life, it's show my parents respect, do what they want me to do. Which when I, you know, that conflicts with what I want to do, I try to find the exact opposite, which God is in neither one of those. It wasn't in any one of them. So it's hard for me to be who I truly am, which is a reflection, it's a co-heir to the kingdom. But I don't know what that is. If I've never heard that, if I've never, and you know, I can't say that I never heard of Jesus, but I didn't know who he was at all, had no clue. Looked at him just kind of like an thing. But I didn't have the guidance. I think the guidance was there, but it wasn't provided for me. And so it's really hard. Even now, it's 29 years of my life I was stuck in a way of thinking, and I'm constantly passing judgment on myself. Whereas in here at the end of this, Jesus, while he's alive, says, "Now is the time for judgment on the world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." I'm aware of that. The time of judgment has come. You know, and
you're supposed to be.
It's after the fact, yeah. And he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. He was going to crucify him. They lifted him up, crucified him. Most, some would say, would probably be the worst way to die. Most painful. They can't really relate anything else to it. That's that spiritual warfare. It's going to be that painful to my spirit. I'm not necessarily going to be crucified on a cross, but my everything inside of me that's telling me what I want and what I'm supposed to do in life is going to get ripped out of me. It's going to be hard to breathe. I'm not going to be able to move. I'm just going to be just hanging there like, what?
Yeah. But it just sucks. We take our meals every day. Like the identity thing, the weak thing, coming back then, you say, never got you, never told God. That's the experience. Going back to what you always were supposed to be. He is, he was, he always will be. So we're relearning what we were always supposed to be in the first place. Like the old Adam, this is the new Adam. We need to become like this. It's the fight, that's the cross, that's the nails. Every day you're fighting, I call it a me monster. I'm killing it every day. I'm taking another nail. I'm fighting and going against everything. Who I thought I was, or even at times I still think I want to be.
I just truly believe that I am a co-heir. And I'm a beloved child. And the thing is I'm not perfect. I'm just working more and more every day. It's, the stress is not so stressful. I was telling Mark the other day that, you know, I get these stresses and I do things and there's consequences, but I don't look at them so much as consequences anymore. It's more like part of it. It's not a consequence. It's not as painful. The stress is still stress and the anxiety is still there. And I have these inner pains, but it's, I see it differently. I don't know, it's more like a matter-of-fact duh thing now. I still don't even work hard towards it. That's what I'm going to end up paying for, is because I'm not getting the most out of it, because I don't work hard enough.
Okay. Sorry. You want to say something?
Yeah, it's, everybody, people like to think of transformation as if it's always this beautiful, clean thing. But you know, this stress and the anxiety, that's the necessary part. It says in the Bible that, you know, we will be saved, but only as those who are coming out of the fire. So, and you have to grow in the dirt before you can shine in the sun. And here, and where Jesus is dead, he's dying as an example. It's not necessarily saying that we need to like jump into physical death, but what we need to do, we have to be willing to put to death everything we want. We have to kill our dreams, every distraction, everything. And we have to die so we can produce seeds that will in turn die and produce others. It's not pretty work.
Well, he says it. Now my soul is troubled. What do you want me to say? save me from this hour? He's saying, look, man, I've been working hard, getting all the way here. I knew this is where I was going. Now I'm supposed to just magically make this part go away? Glorify your name. And God says, he responds, I have glorified it already. I'll do it again.
Yeah, we do. We get the divine voice here with John. Do you have anything you wanted to add to that?
The transformation isn't like an instantaneous thing. It does take a lot of time, and it is difficult and stressful. It's painful. It's all those things.
Yeah, I mean, even those of you that are in the Life Change program, we talk about issues of addiction, what have you. Kind of being transformed from dirty to clean, right? We call that withdrawals. that's not a pretty sight there. The question I was posing is why don't we do that? And I think part of it is fear. Ultimately, I think it's exactly what you said, Randy, and I'm not even sure you realize it, but it's because we don't know who we are. We don't. If we did, then we would trust the Creator, right, who has created us, right? But we don't know who we are. I think we can verbalize that relationship, but deep down inside, we don't know, so therefore we don't trust, so therefore we engage in all that stuff the world offers us. We can say, I need to kill my dreams. Well, how's that going for you? Right? Or, no, I'm not going to kill my dream, but I'm going to go to church. I'm going to tithe. I'll take care of the nursery. I'll volunteer with the youth group. Well, we'll get engaged, but are we dying? Right? Are we just giving it all up, going, you know what? Because I think the fear comes is we all know that we're going to have this physical death. And between now and then, it's kind of like, I know this is coming. There's like so much I want to do. Whether that be travel or, and some of it, it's not saying any of these things are wrong in and of themselves, all right? But if they take precedence over our commitment of self-sacrifice in the name of Jesus, then yes, they're wrong. All right? And I think that's why in here we will say that we equate sin with addiction. All right? We define addiction, all right, or as an addict, is anyone or any time that we fulfill our deepest desire with something other than God. Well, until you know truly who you are, right, you'll never have that deepest. You're not going to have that relationship with God. Right? God's not going to be it. Right? Now, the Bible calls it sin. We call it addiction. So in a sense, everybody's sin, so therefore everybody's an addict. Right? Because everybody has substituted something for their deepest desire other than God. All right? For those of us here, it may have been, drugs and alcohol, women, it could be work, chocolate, shopping, golf, overeating, undereating, gambling, overwork. I mean, the list goes on, right? So the big challenge here is, why won't we die to self? Why won't we let God put us in the ground like a seed and let God have God's way with our life? To sprout the seeds that God needs to advance the kingdom. Because it's not about me then anymore. All right, gentlemen, well, thank you for all your insights, and thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.